Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. With all Kingswood looking on and God listening in, obey and study every last one of God's commandments so that we can make the most of living in this good land and pass it along intact to our children. Our scriptures this morning are found in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 12th and 13th verses, and then Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Hear now God's word. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. This year's theme verse for our stewardship campaign is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. I preached on it last week, so I know you heard it about 10 times in last week's sermon. And so it starts off by saying, rejoice. Praise God. Praise God. It didn't work so well this morning at the first service. Rejoice always. Pray continuously. Y'all were close. And give thanks in all circumstances. Today we're talking about giving thanks for the opportunities we have for study, for learning, for application. I am so grateful. And y'all have heard me say this, and I really wasn't that grateful years ago. I was more angry than grateful. But today I'm grateful. The older I get, the more grateful I become because my parents took me to church. I was not always the best pupil. I was not always the best behaved child in church. I was not always the perfect pastor that I am today. I was more like you. And I still am. Have y'all ever dreaded going to church? I'm going to preach on lying today. Has there ever been someone here who didn't want to go to church? Okay. Praise God that there are truthful people in here. There are days that you don't want to go to church, but my parents made me go, and I was an unwilling participant. And when you're not a willing student, you might not learn as much as you would like. Amen? Amen. But if you go enough, and you keep going, some of the things that they want to teach you will sink in. Ever so shallow, but they will sink in. And now I am so grateful for those Sunday school teachers who put up with me and people like you every single week who didn't want to be there, but they were trying to teach you something that they knew you needed to know and to have in your heart that you weren't capable of knowing you were going to ever need. And every single Sunday, there was somebody's, usually a woman, a wonderful lady who had prepared a lesson. She had prepared the things that we were supposed to learn, and she taught. She was there. She was prepared, and she loved us. Y'all remember those people? They were prepared every single week because they knew in their minds there were people there that didn't want to learn. But one day, maybe one of them would show up there and would want to learn, and they would be teachable. And I am grateful now that I was taken to church every week. Because between Sunday school and vacation Bible school, children's choir, it's amazing what you can learn by singing songs. You can hear the heart of the songwriter. You can hear the heart of the psalmist. You can hear, and it can touch you in ways that just words won't touch you. I'm thankful and grateful for those teachers who taught me. I'm also grateful for the teachers that taught you. I am grateful for the teachers who teach your children now, who've been teaching your children in this place for close to 50 years to know the things they need to know. Deuteronomy said it this way, and Moses said it in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. He wants them on our hearts. It's one thing to learn something and have it all up here, but God wants it eventually get to here. Amen? And so he says this, impress them on your heart. Impress them on your children. And he tells us how he wants us to do it. Talk with them when you sit at home. I don't know what you talk about at home. You ever talk about the love of God? You ever talk about Jesus? You ever talk about Jesus at home? And what Christ means to you? Do you talk about Jesus when you walk along the road? When you're in a car, riding someplace with your family? Do you share what God has meant to you throughout your life? Share your testimony, your witness, the experiences of how God's love has made a difference in your life. Do you do that while you're riding down the road? Do you do it when you lie down? Do you talk with your children when you get up? And then he says, tie these things as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. We do it while we're walking, while we're living, while we're doing it, while we're reading. There are all kinds of ways to learn, and God wants us to learn it so that it can be impressed on our heart. He says, even write it on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. Years ago, this scripture really meant a lot to me. I was trying to allow the Holy Spirit to work on me in a very positive way. I had small daughters who, let's say that they didn't love each other the way that I would like them to love each other. Y'all ever, there were a lot of arguments in our house between two siblings. Sometimes, you know, I would bring stress home from work. Have y'all ever done that? Things hadn't been going well at work, and all of a sudden you've got to come home and they're screaming children at each other. And then there was a screaming wife. Not at you, of course, because you're perfect. But you can bring into the home. And I had one of those six-panel doors, if you know what it is. And right there in the center of the door was a cross. And in my mind, I said, when I go to open that door, when I'm stepping into our kitchen, I need to remember who I belong to, that I'm a Christian. Now, I failed miserably a lot. But I tried to look at the cross to remember who I was, to remember what I know, to get it to my heart. That's important. We're supposed to do whatever we can do to make it happen, to learn, to teach. God is saying, be prepared to teach and to teach all the time. Because you see, we have a limited number of opportunities to teach our children. The ones you raise, and we as a church have a limited number of opportunities to teach our children. This thought came to me many years ago. I was sitting in my study at my first church, and this woman walks in. She was a Presbyterian by birth. No, she was a Baptist by birth. Her husband was Presbyterian, and they were trusting the eternal life of their child to us. We had a safe sanctuary policy. We had a nursery worker who had wet those wet wipes, those sanitary wipes, so everything was sanitized. No one was going to catch a germ in there. You could get rid of polio in that place. It was so clean. It was unbelievably clean. But the thought hit me when she brought her in was, are we prepared for her eternal destiny? Because even at 6 weeks old, when she walked in that door, there are only a certain number of Sundays between then and the time she reaches 18 and graduates from high school. There's only a finite number of Wednesday nights, and there's only a finite number of vacation Bible schools, and there's only a finite number of children's choir meetings, and there's only a finite number of church camps and retreats that this child is going to go on. Because all of a sudden, that child is going to be sick, sometimes on Sunday. Let's subtract those Sundays. And then there are going to be some Sundays where the parents go out of town and don't get back too late, or they go out too late and they don't want to get up in the morning. Let's strike off those Sundays. Strike off those Sundays. And then all of a sudden the children are going to get up to a little bit of age, and they're going to have a propensity for athletics. And the next thing you know, they're going to be having a travel ball, and let's move off those Sundays. Let's move off those Wednesday nights. Let's move off those times. And all of a sudden, all the opportunities that we thought we were going to have, we don't have. So I am thankful every single moment of every single day for teachers who show up every week, day after week after week, and opportunity after opportunity to teach our children about the love of God. You see, the reason God wants us to do that is because God knows what we who are older know. Life is not always easy. Life is not easy at all. This past Monday, a young boy, he's a boy to me, he was 30. He went home for lunch, and he walked into his apartment, and there was somebody invading his apartment. And he confronted the person, who then shot him multiple times and killed him. He was in my last confirmation class before I went into ministry. So that night, his brother, who was about 34 or 5, drove to Thompson to tell his parents that their middle son was shot and killed. On Tuesday morning, I received a phone call about 7:30 from a friend of the mother. They were on their way to Auburn to tell their baby daughter that her brother had been killed. And I thought about the questions, the why questions. Why? Why a senseless murder? Why in the world would somebody who is not armed, when they are confronted with somebody doing that, why didn't he just run out the door and call 911? Why would he think that he could do something? Why? Why is there evil in the world? Why do we have to deal with that in life? You see, all of us will ask the question why somewhere in our life. We will. Jesus asked the question why on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We will all ask those questions. And I believe the reason that the Lord wants us to have those laws and those commandments imprinted on our hearts is because every single one of us one day will have a day that ends in why. After 9/11/2001, the communications division of the church put up a series of billboards all over the country that said, for all the days that end in why, the United Methodist Church. That's why we teach the children. That's why we're here every single Sunday, to teach your children that Jesus loves them, that God loves them, that God will not leave you nor forsake you, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And lo, I am with you always, so that we will know that in our heart for all the days that end in Y. So each and every Sunday that comes by, I'm thankful for the teachers who teach our children, who teach our youth, who teach our adults. And I thank God for you for supporting the church in a way that we can have curriculum, that we can have things to teach our children that God loves them. Because you see, every day, one of us is going to have a day that ends in Y. And we need to know the answers. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your faithful servants. Your servants who have loved you so much to teach us. To teach us the things we need to know for the days that end in Y. We thank you for the church that believes in teaching and study is so important, and that the things we learn are imprinted on our hearts. We thank you for the church that does that. And may we always be grateful for the stewardship that goes with that. But thank you for the message. May we always be willing to learn. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.